text is the gospel reading from St. Matthew. Jesus says, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruits you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruits you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.' Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who builds his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall, because it had its foundation on the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who builds his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash." When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Here ends our text. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus refers to wolves, dogs, and pigs. Before our text, Jesus says, "Do not give to dogs that which is holy. Do not throw your pearls before pigs." In our text, Jesus says, "Beware the wolves." Wolves, dogs, and pigs are a fitting thing to learn about as we enter the long season of Sundays after Pentecost, the season of growth. The first thing we learn is there are wolves in sheep's clothing. Unlike pigs and dogs, wolves hide their true nature. Dogs and pigs don't pretend to be anything but what they are. Wolves sneak about. Wolves don't come growling at you like a pack of mean dogs. They don't grunt and snort, letting you know when they're close. No, wolves pad softly into an area and wait for their prey to get close. They'll act as nice as Red Riding Hood, Red Riding Hood's grandmother, or as gentle as a sheep. Jesus says, "Watch for false prophets coming to you looking like sheep, but you watch for them looking for horns and pitchforks. You watch for false prophets urging you to worship Satan or desecrate a crucifix. You think false prophets are going to look like what they are." Jesus says, "No, they look like what they aren't. They don't look like ferocious wolves, but gentle sheep. Everything they do is in Jesus' name." No, Jesus says they actually do these things. They actually prophesy, they actually cast out demons, and they actually do miracles, all in Jesus' name. You don't need to be warned about a wolf that looks like a wolf, but about one that looks like a sheep. Jesus says, no, he promises, "By their fruits you will recognize them." The fruits of a false prophet aren't what he does, but what he teaches. And it's not how he teaches, but what. But you know what people do? They judge pastors by their personality. Good, dynamic, charismatic personality equals a faithful prophet, a sound pastor. Or sheep judge by speaking ability. If I had a nickel, literally, for every layman who ever said after visiting a church that that pastor was a good speaker, I could retire today. Wake up, people. Now is the season to grow. False teachers do not look like false teachers. They look like true ones. You can't go by the nice physical things they do or even the spiritual things they do in Jesus' name. You must go by what a teacher teaches. And if you cannot tell if a pastor is correctly preaching law and gospel, preaching the whole counsel of God, and all things whatsoever Jesus has commanded, if you cannot tell that, then you are condemned for the rest of your life to looking for grapes on thorn bushes and figs on thistles. There are wolves in sheep's clothing, teaches Jesus, and all dogs don't go to heaven. All Dogs Go to Heaven is not just the title of a 1989 movie, but could be the title of this American holiday. You will not find a Memorial Day observance that simply remembers the service of America's war dead, which is fine and a fitting thing to do. No, every one of those Memorial Day ceremonies place those who died serving our country in heaven. They earned a place in heaven by making the ultimate sacrifice. The Greeks had their Elysian fields, the Indians their happy hunting grounds, and the Norse had their Valhalla. And we Americans have heaven. But not all dogs go to heaven, and neither do all warriors, all soldiers, all heroes. What's more, Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, goes to heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father. Now here, Jesus doesn't tell you what that will is. He tells you what it's not. It's not prophesying in his name. It's not quoting so many Bible passages that people say, wow, does he know the Bible? Doing the Father's will is not preaching so eloquently about what Jesus can do for you and your life that people get excited. Nor is doing the will of the Father driving out the demons of alcohol, drugs, violence, or low self-esteem in Jesus' name. And finally, doing the will of the Father is not doing the miraculous thing of building a church, filling a church, or reaching 100 million people in Jesus' name by the year 2017. Jesus tells you in John 6 what the will of the Father is. But we hear it and we think, that's it? That's easy. There's got to be more. By saying these things, we show that the wolf is still in us. Jesus says in John 6, this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. The Father's will is that you believe on his Son for salvation. The Father's will is that you believe that Jesus' works are what count, not yours, not even the ones you do in his name. The Father's will is that you believe Jesus' suffering and sacrificing are what count, not yours. The Father's will is that you believe that your sins, even your sins of not crying wolf when you should, and believing all dogs go to heaven when you shouldn't, believing that all those sins have been paid for, forgiven, sent away from you. Jesus begins by telling us there are wolves in sheep's clothing, so beware. Then he says all dogs don't go to heaven, but you will. And Jesus closes by saying pigs can't fly. When pigs fly, that's a centuries-old proverb with many variants, but they all mean something will never happen. And Jesus says, it will never happen that a hearer of my words but not a doer will go to heaven. Yet people believe not only that this pig will fly, but an even fatter pig flies. They believe those who don't hear his words at all will survive the disaster of death and fly away to heaven. That's not what Jesus says. Jesus says that while pigs can't fly, everyone who hears and does his word will stand even when the storm of death comes against their house. Now that is an amazing promise. Paul compares life to a tent. The best tent might withstand a driving rain and maybe even a steady wind. But a tent won't survive a flash flood. Solomon compares life to a golden bowl suspended by a silver thread. Now that won't withstand a good rain or a bad wind, let alone a flash flood. Yet Jesus knows of a life that will. To us people of clay, to us frames made of dust, to us who are aging, ailing, graying, and aching, to us who can see the storm of death approaching, as sure as we saw the thunderstorms coming 2 weeks ago, this promise means a lot. Jesus knows of a hearing and a doing that produces a life that not only withstands death, but sin and the devil too. And it has to be able to do all three. Because Paul says that the sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. And Hebrews says that it is through the fear of death that the devil enslaves us all our days. So, to withstand the sting of death, which gives the devil power over us, sins must be dealt with, and the law must be kept. No amount of your hearing and doing can deal with your sins and God's law. Oh, people think otherwise. They think if they go to church enough, that is, if they hear enough, they'll be saved. The mere sounding of words in the ears does not save. In Luke 13, Jesus shows people protesting that they ought to be saved because Jesus taught in their streets. They heard him teach. Jesus says to them, "I don't know you." Nor does doing, even lots of doing, even doing things in Jesus' name, save. Our text makes this plain. Jesus says to those who have prophesied, exercised, and performed miracles in his name, "I never knew you." If you're not known by Jesus, you cannot be saved by God. The angel of death only passes over those known by God through the blood of the Lamb that marks them. Now we're getting close, real close. There is a hearing and there is a doing that withstand the rain, the river, and the icy wind of death. It's hearing Jesus kept the law and hearing Jesus paid for your sins. There's salvation in hearing that the laws of God you are required to keep but can't have been kept by Jesus. There's salvation in hearing that neither the devil, your conscience, nor death itself can threaten you based on your not keeping God's law, because Jesus kept all those laws in your place. When the devil says, "What about keeping this law?" and your conscience says, "What about paying for that sin?" and death hisses, "What about doing this sin and paying for that one?" your heart can say, "Done, done, and done. Paid, paid, and paid," based on what you've heard Jesus done and paid. There's a hearing that's able to withstand death. And it leads to a doing that does. This doing isn't your doing works. Doing stewardship, doing evangelism, doing church work, that doesn't withstand death. Nor is it a doing of your vocation, job, marriage, or family. Death and the devil take these fine, shiny works of yours and they crumple them up as easily as you do so much tin foil. On your deathbed, if you try to shield yourself from the rain with your works, you are going to drown for all eternity. If you try to keep back the flood of death with your works, your levee is going to break and you're going to be forever swept away. If on your deathbed you try to brace the walls of your life against death's demonic howling with your works, you will find not only that pigs can't fly, but they get their homes blown to bits by wolves. The doing that saves from death, the doing that withstands death, is the doing that Jesus left us. He said, "Do baptism." He said, "Do absolution." He said, "Do Holy Communion." In the doing of these things, the doing of Jesus that you heard about in the gospel, his perfect keeping of the law and his paying for your sins, the doing of Jesus is delivered to your door in the doing of the things he left us. Death can huff and puff all it wants about your sins, and it won't be able to blow away God's absolution of your life. Death can rain down all the guilt from your past, and you'll be bone dry, guiltless under the waters of your baptism. Death can bring a whole flood of all that you haven't done that deserves judgment, and the body and blood of Jesus in your mouth won't allow you to be swept away. Wolves in sheep's clothing seek to devour you. All dogs don't go to heaven, and pigs can't fly. But pigs, dogs, and sheep are saved from the big bad wolf by hearing what Jesus did for them and by doing what he left for them. Amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting. Amen.